Amen. Praise the Lord. Love and appreciate our pastor. Say, we love pastor. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. That was such a neat dinner we had the other day with all of the people that, family members and all of the people that came. It was very nice. And thank you again for all who helped with that. I know Sister Caitlin stayed an extra couple weeks and helped us with it, and it went really well. It was nice. Praise God. Can we stand for the reading of the Word this morning? Amen. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. But I want to set this up a little bit today. I got inspiration from this message from Pastor Mefford, Dallas Mefford, who was in the church, the pastor of the church I raised when I was born and baptized. And I came upon this. A friend of mine actually uploads these messages. And I came upon it during a very difficult time in my life last year. And as I was listening to that, I was like, man, this was recorded back in the 80s. I said, how relevant is that today? How that pertains to my life right now. And so this is something that I want to talk about. And I want to talk about victory today. Preach about this today. Victory today. And sometimes when we talk about victory, we think about that huge victory, that grand victory, long-term victory. You know, the final victory that we know that Jesus has already won. But we talk about it like it's something that happens in the end. And something that we must achieve in the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And we're certain, of course, of our victory in the Lord. And we know that in the end we win. It's one of our favorite things to hear and say. But Jesus also won the greatest victory through His death, burial, and resurrection. And I hope today that you have the faith that Jesus already has won. And so in the grand scheme of your life, that we don't have to worry about whether we have victory right now. And so let's listen to this principle about what God gave us. And it's a kind of line that Jesus said that when your life is starting to build up pressures and anxieties, it's like a relief valve. It's like letting the pressure off. That's what I hope to do today, is let some pressure off. Amen. People say, let steam off. And they're talking about yelling and screaming and all that. No. Not talking about that. I'm talking about something greater. This is what it says in Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, help me today, God. Help me to deliver this message, God. Lord, I know that this is Your plan and Your will, God. Lord Jesus, help me to speak Your word and the truth, Lord God, about who You are. Lord, about our victory, Jesus, about what we can accomplish, Lord God, through You, Jesus. Oh, we love You, God. Thank You, Jesus, for winning the victory on Calvary, Lord God. Oh, but that's in the past, Lord Jesus. And thank You, God, that we have that ultimate victory, God. But that's in the future, Jesus. Lord, I need victory right now, God. I need victory today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You for standing. You may be seated. And that's the message today. Sufficient unto the day. Victory today. Today, we have enough to deal with. Today, we have our problems And we can get so wound up in what's happening right now and bound up with problem after problem, this problem and that problem, and we have enough on our hands with today's responsibilities, with what we have to do now. But we're also trying to survive yesterday's failures and mistakes. And we're also trying to cope with tomorrow's fears all at once. And in this message that Brother Mefford preached, he told a little story about a boy who'd gone to school and learned that scientists had discovered that the universe was expanding. Yeah, we know the universe is expanding. They discovered that. And so later on that night at dinner, at the table, he was just kind of picking around his plate. And he's moving the peas to this side and moving the pork. He's just kind of... And his mom says, "Johnny, what's wrong? Is something wrong with your food? Why aren't you eating your dinner?" And he says, "Well, Mom, what's the point? The universe is expanding. What's the point? We're all just going to be pulled apart." And Johnny had made a big mistake. And it's something, he let something that is far off in the future stop him in his tracks at the dinner table. Why do anything now when the outcome is inevitable? Why do anything now when tomorrow is so certain and doom is on the horizon? And we've all done that. We have all borrowed trouble from tomorrow. Or we let the failures of the past stop us from moving forward. We've all done that. So Johnny's not unique, and it's a funny little story, but there's some serious implications there. Because if we let tomorrow bother us, or we let the past stop us, we won't move. We'll be like a deer in the headlights. No wonder that depression has been diagnosed so much more frequency and anxiety, and we can medicate and we can try to do those things, but people feel overwhelmed and suicidal, and things that they have allowed all the trouble to sort of press in on them. They feel burned out. They feel hopeless. And it's because we're dragging 2 days that we can't control, yesterday and tomorrow, into the only day that God actually gave us to have the strength to live. He gave us the strength for today. He conquered our past, gave us the strength for today, and He promises us a future and an expected end. But we see what's happening right now, and we struggle. When you do that long enough, that pressure builds on your heart, your soul, and you break down. And you struggle, and you might blow up on somebody. You might shut down. Things start to break. And there's a battle that we have to fight. That crushing of the future and the past, crushing in on the present. But Jesus said, "Take no thought of your life." And we all nod our heads. We all sit here and say, "Amen. I know. I know. Yep, take no thought of my life. Yep, I got it, Jesus. Check." But inside, we're kind of like doing these mental lists. How am I going to pay the mortgage? What's going to happen on my job? And how am I going to put shoes on the kids' feet? And how am I going to, what's going to happen? And what about the future of the world? What about the war in the news? What about The country's divided. Oh man, nation's burning. Oh, media's pumping us full of more meaningless information. Social media is making us antisocial. It's true. Ever see a group of friends sitting at a table? They all got their phones out. They're not looking at each other, talking to each other. They're all on social media. And they laugh because, oh, you just posted an update. Just tell your friends. They're right there in front of you. Be a blessing now. And we watch. That's talking about our own problems. But when you get on social media and you see other people's problems or other people's successes that are not real, no amens to that, huh? Nobody's been guilty of posting on social media something that's not real. Thank you for standing, Brother Joel. We watch other people's situations. We watch other people's problems. Their entire life's dramas play out before us. But we don't have context of what's going on in their life. We don't know. So much we don't know, but we can sit there and comment. You shouldn't do that in person or behind the screen, by the way. And that additional pressure, trying to deal with somebody else's future and somebody else's past, that builds up on us. We have this prayer list, and each of these names represents people in their own lives and what's going on with them. And it's good for us to pray for them, but it's not good for us to think that we have control over it. Amen. I know this is not normal for me. Normally I get up here and holler. But I think this teaching is needed today. It's very needed today. Let's look at this whole passage in Matthew 6. Jesus said, Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment, or the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." Amen. I wish my girls were in here, because 5 and 7, and they're already starting. "What should I wear today, Daddy? What shoes should I wear?" Don't ask me that question. Don't. What you have on is fine. Amen. That starts early, doesn't it? James was saying, he came in the room the other day and says, "Mom, I'm actually starting to think about how I need to fix my hair, and I want to kind of look nice a little bit." 11 years old, starting to think about that. James, you are handsome. You look nice, even if your hair is messed up. Praise the Lord. I used to do that, though. And then that actually got cured really quickly. I'll tell you how it happened. I got bussed up to a building in Great Lakes, Illinois. Bunch of people started yelling at me. They pushed me off the bus. They started cussing at me and screaming at me, telling me to drop all my things. And then we ran into the building and we stood in line. And there was this big picture window. And you could see what was about to happen. The barbers in there just would go, and all your hair was gone. And I have never worried about my hair ever since then. Does anybody know? I went to boot camp. That's where it was. Some of you guys were thinking jail. I'm not. It was the military. Yeah. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. And take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We can worry about the whole lifetime of things, and we don't have the grace to handle it. We don't have the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge. We don't know how to handle tomorrow's problems. And many of us don't know how to handle our pasts. But God didn't give you strength for tomorrow, because tomorrow isn't here yet. He only gives us our daily bread, not a whole month's worth of groceries. What about my past? Well, yesterday's failures, sitting on top of today's struggles, condemnation, regret, guilt, shame, old battles we lost, old enemies we've already defeated trying to face off against us in a new day. And we get weary and the battle fatigue sets in, sleeplessness and stress, and we're clenching our teeth and shoulders are tight. We have a sense that life's pressure is just building and building, and it's like a pressure cooker and there's no release valve. But let me give you a challenge right now. Let me give you something to think about. What got you through the last week? Where does my strength actually lie? Is it in my personality? Is it in my discipline, my willpower? Or is it rooted in the promises of God? Is it in the Word? Is that what got me through? We're all here. We've all arrived. Something got us through this last week. What did it? Maybe you're running on fumes today because you're relying on yourself. That's very possible in this room, that you're exhausted because everybody's coming to you for help. Everybody needs your attention. Everybody needs mommy. Nobody says daddy until they're scared, and then they say daddy. Praise the Lord. But some of you said it. My strength's in Jesus. My faith is in God and His Word. Hallelujah. That's the victory. The victory that we can have today is strength from the promises of God. Strength from the Word of God. Strength from what He says. Because what He says is true. Do you agree what God says is true? This is the truth. He's the way. He's the life. Hallelujah. God didn't design our bodies, our hearts, our minds, or our souls to carry a whole lifetime at once. He designed you to live this day. This one day. Today. in His strength. And then the next day, in fresh strength. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, God will already be there waiting for you with a fresh supply of His love and His mercy and His truth and His grace. God will already be there. He'll say good morning to you. This is what I have for you today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about yesterday. Live today in victory. The same way that Israel had to go out and collect manna every day. Not weekly, not monthly, not for 2 days, not for 6 months. No, today I need to collect my daily provision from God now. I need my victory right now. Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That means something very simple. If the burden you're carrying feels impossible, like it's crushing you, like you can't breathe under the weight, it's not from Jesus. It's not the burden He wants you to carry. So what do? Stop. Ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him for a fresh supply of grace and mercy. Put down the burden that's crushing you and take up His burden. For His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Hallelujah. Why? Because He's there carrying it with you. It's not on your shoulders by yourself. Amen. All He asks you to do is walk today with Me. Amen. And Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And I imagine that word casting, it's kind of like I get this image of somebody pushing something violently, throwing something out, pushing, getting rid of something. And I assure you that if that's what you have to do, if you've got to just get fed up with the problems of that you're trying to carry and the cares of your life and care for tomorrow and care for yesterday, I assure you Jesus can handle it if you cast your cares upon Him. It doesn't matter how heavy it is. He has the strength for you. Amen. Sometimes you need to throw your worries onto Him. Like you're in a storm at sea, and you just got to unload the cargo. You got to bail the water out of the ship. You've got to jettison the things in the ship. Amen. To keep from sinking. Just keep this in mind when someone asks you what's wrong. Amen. Tell them, I'm just making room for Jesus. I'm throwing out these cares and these worries and these troubles and my problems. I'm making room for the Master of the sea. Amen. I'm making room for Jesus to step onto my ship and for the wind and the seas to cease and be still. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got to throw my cares on Him. I've got to cast my troubles on Him. I've got to throw that out of my life. Amen. And put it at His feet. Praise the Lord. We've got to try it. When we feel overwhelmed by yesterday and tomorrow, stop and consciously cast the care onto God. And say it out loud if you have to. God, this problem's too big for me. I need You right now and I give it to You right now. Can we stand right now? I think some of us need to do that right now. God, I cast my care on You. God, I'm desperate for You. God, I need You. My ship is going under, Lord Jesus. There's too much water in my ship, God. There's too many problems from yesterday. Jesus, take control right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Take charge right now, Jesus. Move right now, Lord. Hallelujah. I need your strength today, God, not tomorrow, not yesterday. I need it now, Jesus. You got to get passionate about it. You got to let go of yesterday. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. Come on, can you feel God lifting up that burden? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm making room in my life for you today, Jesus. Because the troubles can't be my king. They can't be my Lord. Oh, you're my King. You're my God. You're my Lord, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 God. Amen. Reminds me of like an air compressor. Building up all that trouble, all that pressure. And used to work in a shop. You can be seated. Used to work in a shop, and it would actually scare us sometimes because somebody would go into the back room and that air compressor has got a little release valve and it's got a little hiss coming out of it. But somebody would go over there and flip that release valve and it would scare the daylights out of us because it's very loud. But you know, if you got to be loud, if you got to get loud, do it. Do it. I don't care how it makes me look. I can't live with that pressure. I got to let that go. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When I think about feeling overwhelmed, I think about the story of David at Ziklag. Somebody say Ziklag. Ziklag. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. Now, David was on the run and he's running for his life. He's got his own little army, about 600 mighty men of valor. And he'd already defeated Goliath. He'd already, you know, beat the Philistines back. And he's actually gone to the Philistines. And King Amalek of the Philistines, not Amalek, what's his name? I'll have to look it up. It's here, but it starts with an A, I know that. There's so many Bible names and it's hard to keep them straight sometimes. But the king had given him a little town. What was it? Abimelech, that's right. Abimelech. Amalek is the whole nation, Amalekites. Abimelech is the king. Thank you, Pastor. That was that close. Amen. And Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, David had gone to him because he was running for his life from Saul. You talk about pressure. Not only was King Saul was giving David these impossible tasks trying to get him killed, but any time he went there, Saul's throwing javelins at him. And that's a whole other story, but he goes to Abimelech, and Psalm 34, if you read the subscript of Psalm 34, it says that he changed his behavior before the king of the Philistines, and he worshiped God. It's a really neat study if you look at that. He worshiped God. The king said, "This guy's crazy," and he acted so crazy to him that he said he felt sorry for him, and he gave him a little town to live in with his wife and his children and his men's wife and children. And the name of that town is Ziklag. And we're here, 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. So David's out in a battle situation, chasing off some enemies, and he comes back, and the enemy, Amalekites, had ransacked the place and taken everything, taken the wives, the children, and everything. And I can imagine David marching with his men, and you know how you can come to the like precipice of a hill, and you can see far in the distance, and I can imagine David seeing the smoke in the distance, and his men seeing the smoke, and they started, you know, running towards the city. They come to the city, and the men were with him. And then verse 4 says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man and his sons, and for his daughters. He already had enough pressure. He already was running for his life. He had already fought many battles. He already thought about, well, when is God going to keep His promises? And then this happens. Talk about feeling overwhelmed. Talk about feeling depressed. Till they cried until they had no more tears to cry. But look at what this says at the end here. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Everyone turned on him. Everything was gone. In fact, Samuel, the prophet, was dead. He didn't have a preacher to go to. He wasn't king, so he couldn't just build an army and just rebuild and go wipe them out. He couldn't do everything like that. And he's standing there, and all he has is those ashes of a burned city and his home and a bunch of angry, mighty men that wanted to stone him. His own men turned on him. His own men ridiculed him. I can just picture David telling those men, just give me a moment. And he's walking through the middle of them, and they're ridiculing him. We should kill this guy. You know, what now, David? What are we going to do? And why do we ever follow you? What are you going to do about this, David? Everything's gone. And so how did David, in the middle of all that, how in the world could David have encouraged himself in the Lord? I'm sure he had to remind himself of the lion and the bear again. I'm sure he had to remind himself that God had given him victory in the fight against Goliath and the armies of the Philistines. But that's not what helped him. What really gave David strength, I believe this, is that he remembered what God had said. He remembered the promise of God. And David believed and had faith that God would keep his promise. David remembered a little moment where he had been called in from the field. And as he ran up to the house, he saw his brother standing there and his father standing there and the whole family and Samuel the prophet standing there. And Samuel said, front and center, boy. And he said, yes, sir. And Samuel said, you are the king that God has chosen for Israel. And he poured that vial of oil on David's head. David remembered the oil. He remembered the words, you will be king. And David looked around. And I can imagine him off to the side in the edge of the town, watching it burn and the people behind him angry with him. And just having a moment alone with God in the middle of all that trouble and saying, God, I'm not king yet. Which means, God, you're not done yet. This too will pass. That's what true faith looks like. It really is. It's when you're sick and you're in bed and you can't move and you lift up your praise to the Lord and say, God, you're my healer. It's when you're weak and you feel like you can't take another step and you say, God, you're my strength. It's when you face another battle and your armor and your sword is worn out and you say, God, you're my banner. You're my victory, Jesus. That's faith. That's real faith. Faith is anchored in the sure word of promise. Sure word of the word of God. And 2 Peter 1:19 says that we have also a more sure word of prophecy. And he tells us, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. And the day star arise in your hearts. Even if that hope is just like a little glimmer. Even if that faith is just like a little flashing light off in the distance. Even if that faith is like a little grain of mustard seed that you have in your hand. Almost can't see it. But it's there. And God will come through. And Peter tells us, you need to take heed to this. You need to pay attention to this more sure word of prophecy. You need to know what this says to you and your life today. And you need to take heed to it. And it's just like a little glimmer. But there's going to be a time that the sun comes up. There's going to be a time that you can't even stand in the presence of God because of its brightness. Hallelujah. You've got to have that Ziklag moment. You might say, I'm not sure what the future holds, and I can't change the past, but I do know what God told me in His Word, and I'm going to hold on to it until He shows up. I'm going to stand on His Word. I'm going to hold on to His promises. I believe them with all my heart. I know that they're going to happen. I have them in my heart. I already have them in my mind. I already have them in my spirit. Because God never fails. And then look what happened to David in verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Amen. It was yesterday's promise, but he applied it for today. Amen. He said, I know just what to do. I'm going to come in and I'm going to go to the altar. And I'm going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to talk to God about this. I'm going to get direction for today. Amen. David fought and jumped down to verse 16. The Bible says, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth. Eating and drinking and dancing. There's the enemy just having a celebration, gloating over the victory that they had won because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there were escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither son nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had they had taken to them. David recovered all. That's victory today. That's victory today. Hallelujah. All because he remembered the promise. And where did the promise take him? Back into the presence of God. Back into victory for today. Hallelujah. Back into direction for my life right now. Hallelujah. And I asked you this a few minutes ago. Where does your great strength lie? That's an interesting question. It's a question that Delilah asked Samson. It's an interesting question because it makes you think, where does my great strength lie? In Judges 16:6, Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And of course, she wasn't really interested in knowing where his strength lied. She wanted him to lose his strength so she could get some money. But that's still, it's such a revealing question. And it's a question that he was supposed to keep secret. But it's a question for all of us. What is behind my strength? What gives me my strength? Well, let me tell you this. Your strength does not lie in your education. Doesn't lie in your philosophy, your talent. It doesn't even lie in good days or feelings or your ability to hold it together. Your strength lies in the promise of God. And not just any promise, but it's the promise that Jesus gave us by shedding His blood at Calvary. It's the blood that gives us strength from day to day. His blood lets us bury our past because Jesus was buried. He carried all of our sins with Him and left them there in the tomb. And I can also rise to walk in the newness of life and be renewed because He rose conquering death. That the power of sin might be destroyed and that I may triumph in His victory. This is where my entire life is strengthened. This is where my identity is rooted. It's in Christ. It's in His gospel. Amen. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says that the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You gotta believe. It's the foundational promise in our life. We must believe the gospel. And it's not just the gospel that saved us, but it's a gospel that helps me every single morning. Every morning you got to wake up. Before your feet hit the floor, you got to say, my strength for today is in God's promise. It's in the gospel. It's not in me. Your strength and my strength are not uncertain or floaty or question. It's solid. It's sure. It's grounded. Amen. It's the gospel. Amen. That gospel is repentance. Repentance, the death of my own self-will. The death of me and my wants and my whims and my desires. That's the gospel. What I want is going to destroy me. But what He wants is going to give me strength today. Amen. So I've got to repent today. And if you've never repented of your sins, do it. Be specific. Tell God, God, I agree with You that this is wrong. This is not something that I need in my life or want in my life anymore. It's not my desires anymore, God. It's hurting me. It's killing me. It's keeping me bound. And you've got to let that die. Give it into the hands of God and accept the forgiveness that He has already given us. Hallelujah. And Jesus didn't just stay on the cross. He died, yes, but then He was buried. He was buried, and we're buried in Jesus' name. We're buried with Him. Amen. In baptism, we have the burial for our sins. We have remission. That's the payment of our sins. We've got that remission of sins. And anybody tells you you don't need to be baptized is a liar. Because baptism applies the payment to your life when you take on that great and precious name. And you carry that name with you everywhere you go. You walk into a room, you're there representing Jesus. You walk into tomorrow, you've got the name of Jesus on your life. Hallelujah. You can have confidence and surety that your sins have been taken care of, remitted, amen, buried with Him in baptism. And then He didn't stop there. Because if Jesus would have stayed in the tomb, we would be of all men most miserable. Amen. If Jesus would have stayed dead and buried, amen, we would have no hope. Amen. If Jesus would have stayed in that tomb, we would still be in our sins and still be in our past life. Amen. But Jesus didn't stay buried, my friend. Amen. Jesus came up out of that grave. Amen. He gave us life. And that more abundantly. Hallelujah. He said we're buried with Him in baptism. That like as Christ was raised from the dead, we also shall walk. And walk and raise up and walk in newness of life. Amen. We have this sure hope. Amen. When you receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you get resurrection power. Amen. You get the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. And the promise is that it will give you life today. It's not just, the gospel's not just about how I was saved 30 or 40 years ago. The gospel's not even how I was saved yesterday, if that's when you were saved. Amen. It's your daily strength. It's today's strength. It's your clean slate right now. It's your strength for now. The gospel, Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection were not a one-time moment in your life to write on the page of your Bible or to mark on a calendar. They are an infinite well that you can draw from strength from every single time you pray. When you're overwhelmed, remember that even that part of your self-will has to die. When doubts arise, remember, those doubts need to be buried. When your old ways try to oppose the promises of God, remember that every limitation of your life has been replaced with new life. I get that so often. Well, I just can't. I feel so drawn to that sin, and I feel it's irresistible. Let me tell you something. That sin is irresistible to your old man. That sin is irresistible to your flesh. But it's not irresistible to the new life that God has given you through the Spirit. Through the Spirit of God. Through the Spirit of God, you have the power to overcome sins that you didn't have the power to overcome before. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I feel so drawn. Well, are you living after the flesh? Or are you walking in the Spirit of God? Encourage the Spirit of God in your own life. Just like David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 3:4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That means that you're not strong just because you're strong. You're not strong because of your own strength. That would be circular. Well, I'm just strong because I'm strong. That's a lie. That's circular reasoning. That's self-defeating. Because when you're weak and you're weary and you're worn out, well then, you'd have to say, I'm weak because I'm weak. I'm worn out because I'm worn out. No. You're strong because you are filled with the power of an endless life. Remember this. When you face today, when you face your troubles, you are filled with the power of an endless life. You have the same Spirit in you and are tapped into the source of infinite strength. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16 says that who was made not after the law of carnal commandment, but Jesus was made after the power of an endless life. Amen. We have the power within us, amen, to get through every single day. Victory today. Sometimes it means that you've got to go bury yesterday under the blood of Jesus. Every day. Yeah. I know we started out slow because I wanted it to sink into you. If you're worried about tomorrow, if you're worried about even the failures of yesterday and the guilt of the past, that feeling that, oh, I'm stuck. I should be much further along by now. You need to put it all at the foot of the cross and let the blood of Jesus cover it. Take it to Calvary. Don't drag it into today with you. And don't drag it into tomorrow with you. Because John said that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Jesus is not there to judge us and condemn us. Amen. He's there to advocate you and restore you today. Little children, 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write unto you, or write I unto you, that ye sin not. The purpose is not just to give you a free pass to sin. That would be detrimental. You'd have to say, I sin because I sin. No. You have the power to not sin. But look at this. Yes, John, you said you sin not. But he said, if any man sin, and if any man sin, we don't rely on our own selves. As soon as you recognize sin in your life, in the very moment that God's Spirit convicts your heart, in the very moment that you feel guilty, today you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Today, right now. And this works anytime. Works anytime. In fact, it will work right this moment. I'd like you to stand with me right now. Let's tell Jesus, Lord, I need you to cover me, my soul, right now, today, with the blood of Calvary. I want to lay my fears, I want to lay my sins, I want to lay my doubts at the feet of Jesus. Cleanse me right now, God. Renew me right now. Forgive me right now. Lord, I need victory right now today. Hallelujah. I need it right now, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It works. It works. Bring it to the cross. Bring it to the cross. Hallelujah. Give it to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Jesus, cleanse my life. Jesus, cleanse my mind. Jesus, cleanse my heart, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Jesus, I repent of my sins. I confess to you, Lord God, that immorality, Lord Jesus, is wrong, Lord God, that my worldly lusts are wrong, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, the things that I fear, God, are not founded in love, Lord Jesus, and I need your strength right now, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, this is a daily thing. You've got to keep this victory current. You've got to keep it updated. Amen. Got to keep it updated, Brother Andre. Look at this. A past victory, no matter how powerful it was, cannot win today's battle. You must let God have His hand on today. Just because you won yesterday does not mean that the devil's going to give up on you today. You need to reject the lies that he's telling you right now. He's telling you, oh, you can't. You won't. You lost. You're not really saved. He tells you all kinds of stuff. You should give up. Those are lies. Identify where those lies come from, and you have the truth to overcome them, because you're submitting everything under the hand of God. Reach out for the hand of God. Reach out today for the hand of God. He won before, and guess what? He will always win. He always gives me the victory. Lord, I need your touch right now, God. Lord, I need your touch today. Can we pray right now? Come to this altar right now. Hallelujah. If you need victory today. Oh, Jesus, it doesn't have to take long. It doesn't have to take more than a moment. But it's real. You need it. You need it. Hallelujah. In your life right now. Hallelujah. Everyone come. Everyone come. Don't stay back. Hallelujah. Come on and pray. Come on and reach Calvary right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you can't change the past. You can't change the past. Listen to me for a minute. Listen for one moment. You cannot change the past. But that does not mean that you cannot live free from it. You can, in fact, be free from your past. You can put it right under the blood of Jesus today. You can bury it in baptism today. You don't have to win your whole life's worth of battles today. Doesn't that just take the pressure off? You don't have to solve all of your problems today. All lifetime of problems. Past and future. You don't have to conquer every issue and fear. And you don't have to conquer it all today. But you do have to walk with God today. Live in victory today. And tomorrow, I already said it, God will be there when you get there. God's promises, guess what? There's no expiration date on them. God's promises aren't going to expire tomorrow. No. Victory belongs to you today. You live right now. You draw strength from the promises of God now. You bury yesterday under the blood of Calvary. And people must encourage themselves. I've got to encourage myself in the Lord. Just like David did. And I've got to know where my strength lies. The way Samson forgot. I want to touch God right now. Daily. And the victory's not for yesterday. Because yesterday is gone. The victory is not for tomorrow. Because tomorrow hasn't come yet. Victory is for right now. It's for today. And when tomorrow gets here, victory will be for today. Hallelujah. Can we just linger here in the presence of God? Let God work on our hearts right now. Accept this and believe it. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh Jesus, today is the day of salvation, God. Right now is the moment, Lord Jesus. Right now is when I need victory, Lord God. Right now, Lord Jesus. Somebody say it right now, Jesus. Right now, you're my hope, Lord God. Right now, Lord Jesus, you're my great triumph and my mercy. Right now, Lord Jesus, you're the truth. Right now, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah.